Amen, church. Go ahead and take a seat again. And would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time that we have together. Father, we pray that you would just bless us as we continue early in 2021 here. God, bless us individually, bless us as a church, bless our families, Father. Help us, Lord, to glorify you in all that we do. God, help us to see this morning that all we have, all the good things in our life are from you. Father, all that we're meant to do in this life is meant to be done with you. And all that we accomplish is meant to be for your glory. So Lord, I pray we could just live with those realities just present in our hearts and present in our actions. And Father, I pray it would just lead to beautiful things happening that glorify your name. Bless us as a church, Lord, as we strive to do all this. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, church. Well, I want to just give a huge thanks to Tony for preaching a great message last Sunday. He did an awesome job and super proud of him. And hey, would you welcome all those who are tuning in online this morning? Show them some Christchurch love. And if you want, take your phone out for a moment and just give us a share. Those tuning in today, just give us a quick share. Help us to spread the word and to get the message out. Well, today I want to talk about how we can move forward in this year really connected to God. And I also want to spend some time talking about where God is leading us this year as a church. So I want to hit both of those things today. And as I was just kind of spending some time reflecting on this year and reflecting where we're at as a church and just saying, all right, Lord, what's your desire for us? Because I hate making a plan and then trying to convince God to adopt my plan. I've done that so many times in my life, and I'm just over it. So I'm like, all right, Lord, let me do this the right way. What do you desire? And as I was just thinking about this, I felt this intense gratitude for this church, for you guys, for all who are tuning in online. And here's why. This year, it's been so hard. You've had to work to stay connected, right? It's so easy to just get caught up in the disruption of everything and the change of everything and just the exhaustion of everything. But yet, here you all are because you love God and you love this place and you love each other. And I'm just overwhelmed with thankfulness for you guys. And it makes me think, and this might sound weird to you, but I feel like our church is as strong as it's ever been because of you. So I thank you for that. When I was thinking about this, the story of Henry V, one of my all-time favorite stories, came to mind. And I'll just give you the cliff notes on it. But this is a true historical story. Shakespeare made it into a really cool play. But in the account in both Shakespeare and history, Henry V is the king of England, and he's trying to make his crown recognized in France. So he's fighting in France, and they just got a beatdown. And they have another battle coming, and it doesn't look real promising for them. They're the underdogs. And he gets his men together, and he says, hey, guys, this is a special day. It was St. Crispin's Day, which was sort of a mini holiday. And he said, hey, we're going to go fight. And it doesn't look real good for us right now. He said, but whoever takes this opportunity with me to do something hard, he said, you will be my brother forever. And every St. Crispin's Day, you'll roll up your sleeve and you'll show your scar. And you'll remember that I did something noble and something hard. And you'll have a sense of gratitude and pride. I love that story. And the quote is this. This is, if you've ever seen the movie Band of Brothers, this is where the line comes from. He says, but we in it shall be remembered, we few, we happy few, we band of brothers. For he today that sheds his blood with me shall be my brother. Isn't that powerful to you? Maybe this is a guy thing. Guys like to like show off scars and stuff. It's like the more you got beat down at times, the more glory there is in it. Guys, amen on that. I don't know if that's a girl thing. I've only been a guy, so I can't speak to that. But I thought about that, and I felt like that's our church right now. It's a band of brothers and sisters who are committed to each other, who are committed to God. And I am thankful, but I'm also excited for what I believe God wants to do through us this year. And I can't wait. But I do want to say, man, I'm so thankful for you, church. So today, to get us started, we're going to look at Romans 11, verse 36. One verse. This is what Lauren read right before she sang. And I want you to memorize this verse. That's my challenge to you. We're going to read it for the next couple Sundays. But I want you to get it into your nervous system, into your mind, into your heart, and memorize it. It's not that long. Turn to the person next to you and say, it's not that long. You can do it. I know some of you, you have all seasons of The Office memorized. I might be one of those people. You can memorize this and it will be better for your soul. Even though The Office can be really good for it too. Amen. Romans 11, 36. This is what we're going to look at today. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Now, who is the him? The him is God. The him is Jesus Christ. For from him and through him and to him are all things. From, through, to. Did you catch those words? From, through, to. There's a flow to these words, right? Everything is from God. Everything has to be done through God, or we could say with God. And everything is meant to go back to God, but to go back to him in a way that glorifies him, right? And then Paul emphasizes that last part, right? He says, for from him, through him, and to him, and then he says it one more time in case we missed it, to him be the glory forever and ever. And there's a flow to these verses. So here's what I want you to do this year. I want you to find the flow. You with me? Say that out loud. Find the flow. And if you really want to say it right, you have to say it like a surfer. You know what I'm saying? I know there's not a lot of surfers in Northeast Ohio, but if there were, this is how they would say it. They would do one of these. Just find the flow, bro. Anybody? Bro, find the flow. I'm not getting a lot of love in the room. Online family, are you with me on that? Do we got any surfers online? Hitting the shores of Lake Erie, no one's there either. Anyway, but find the flow, because here's the deal. When you live from this flow, when this flow is how you live your life, beautiful things happen. When you break any part of this flow, we create messes. And what happens is we may live on some parts of this flow, but if you break one piece, the flow is broken, right? So if I stop realizing that everything good in my life is from God and I start taking credit for it, or I get a little too high on the horse about it, it breaks the flow. If I go forward in life and I stop doing life with God, right? Because everything is through him, and I start trying to hold on to everything together in my own ability, in my own strength, I break the flow. And if at the end of the day, I'm not really doing it to glorify God, but for some other reason, the flow is broken. So each part is absolutely necessary. And to find the flow, I'm going to challenge you to do three things today. If you're taking notes, you can write these down, but I'm going to challenge you to create one moment, one habit, and one goal. One moment, one habit, and one goal to help you find your flow. So let's talk about this first one, one moment. And this is the beginning. It's what Paul says, for from him are all things. And I want you to see today, and I want you to acknowledge that every good thing in your life is from God. Everything. Everything that you've ever sat back and smiled about. Everything that you ever just took a moment and be like, man, I'm really grateful for this. This is really cool. This fills up my soul. Whether it's a little thing or a big thing, It's from God. He is the author of every good thing in our lives. Now, I know some of us might be thinking, well, Chad, I can buy into that a little bit, but I've worked hard for what I have. I've made good decisions. It hasn't been an easy road, but I've worked hard for what I have. So I get that maybe some of it's from God, but I've contributed too. But here's what I want you to think about. When you begin to dive into how do I have what I have, it gets to a point where eventually it can't be from you, right? Maybe you have worked hard, but where did your work ethic come from? Well, it came from my parents. Well, who decided that you would be born to those parents? Well, I don't know. Well, if you just go back a few layers, what ends up happening is you realize that at the end of the day, we really can't take credit for as much things as we want to, right? Most of us, I'm sure, that are watching, maybe all of us, we were born in the United States. Do you realize what a blessing, insane blessing that is? There are so many other parts of the world, and we didn't choose that, right? You weren't a little embryo and be like, hey, I'll take the train to Cleveland, Ohio. That's a really weird thought to put in your mind, and I'm sorry for that. But I'm trying to make a point here. It's all from God. That's my point. Here's why it's so important to know that. Because when you realize he is the author of every good thing, only then will you fully trust him. Only then. Here's the sad reality. Sometimes we really aren't sure that that's true in our hearts. We're really not sure that he can be fully trusted. And so we hold back because we think maybe the author of every good is outside of God. Yeah, sure, Chad. Maybe God can give me some good, but there's also good that can be found over here. And guess what? When we start thinking that, we lose the flow. We break it. Because when you see every good thing, all of it, is from him, then guess where you're going to go? Right to him, which is exactly where we need to be. And here's the other thing. God is also worthy of that acknowledgement in our lives. All the things that delight your life, I want you to just take a moment right now and I want you to whisper a prayer of thanks to him. God, thank you, because these are from you. I didn't deserve it. So here's my challenge to you. I want you to take one moment this week, and I want you to do some serious thankfulness to God. And you can do it in your own way. I don't know what that looks like for you. Maybe it's just sitting down at the kitchen table, getting a notebook out, and just beginning to list the things that you are just thankful to God about, that maybe it's been really easy to take for granted because we're just used to them. And we see him every day, but I want you just in some way to take one moment where you just acknowledge in a special way that every good thing in your life is from God. You willing to do that, church? And you just worship him for it. You just acknowledge it. And what it will do is build our trust for him. So that's one moment. Now let's look at this next part. It's this idea that everything we do has to be done with God's help. So everything is from him, Paul says, but then everything is through him, or everything is with him. And this is the idea that you and I are meant to live life depending on God. Daily, depending on God and walking with him. And I have really, this has been impressed on me in a fresh way, kind of as we ended 2020, I started a new prayer routine, and it was just one that I had read in the book. Actually, tomorrow night, when we share our, Jovan and I share the continuing the conversation, I'll tell you all the details of it for the one person who's interested in it. My mom, Mrs. Beatley. No. But seriously, it's really been powerful in my life. But since I've been doing it, what I've realized is that when I miss a day or two, how much it affects me. And it's really become very clear. And I just keep having this thought. I'm like, oh my goodness, I need a real connection to God in prayer every day. Because otherwise, I just cannot be the man God's asking me to be. And it's just been really, really clear to me. And this is what Paul is saying. He's saying, look, you are meant to do everything with God. And how many times in life do we leave the Lord behind and we just start running our own course and then we hit a wall and we're like, Lord, this isn't the deal I signed up for. And the Lord's like, yeah, you're an idiot. You went on ahead. We're supposed to do this together. And you're not. So here's my challenge. One habit. What is one habit that will help you to connect to God every single day so that you can do everything with him? For me, mine is that prayer routine. Maybe for you, maybe it's a prayer routine. Maybe it's reading the scripture every day. Maybe it's church weekly. I know that's been a huge challenge in this time. And maybe for some of us, we just need to say, hey, we're going to make it happen. We're going to live stream. We're going to put our phones away. And we're just going to try and connect to God on the weekends. But I want you to choose one habit that is focused on helping to connect to God so that you and I can do things with him. Because when we stop doing it with him, we break the flow. And we know what happens there. Not anything good. And life becomes so overwhelming and so taxing and so difficult because we're meant to do it with him. Now let's talk about the last part. Now everything is meant to glorify God. That's where it ends, right? So I'm meant to do life with God. I have to acknowledge that every good thing comes from him. But then at the end of the day, it's all meant to go back to him and to glorify God. You know, at the end of the day, what is your life and my life about? It's not about our success, wealth, and happiness and all those kinds of things. Those can be great blessings from God, but that's not ultimately the purpose of our life. The purpose of our life is to glorify our Creator. It's to help people to see the beauty and the majesty of the name of Jesus Christ. And that is a powerful and clarifying goal. And Paul says everything is meant to be done to him. To him. So here's my challenge for you. What is one goal this year you can set with the sole purpose of glorifying God? I know you're going to set maybe goals around getting healthier. Nothing wrong with that. I know you're going to maybe set goals around, you know, being wiser financially. Nothing wrong with that. Maybe you're going to have goals around a hobby or an activity or whatever. That's all great. But I want you to set one that is just about God. One goal that will glorify him if it's accomplished. That will make people see him in a better way. Here's some ideas for it. I thought Tony had a great point last week. He said, tell someone something good God has done for you. That's a great goal that glorifies him, right? You don't have to corner somebody in your office and say, hey, listen, I'm going to open up the book of Romans and you are coming to Jesus, whether you want it or not, right? But you can tell someone, you can say, hey, in a conversation, man, you know what? He's treated me so much better than I deserve. You can say something simple, but what does it do? It opens the door. It throws some credit to where the credit really should go, right? And it shows them that there's something deeper in you that is at work. That's the God who created you. Just one goal that's just going to glorify God. Maybe some of you, it can be serving in our church. It could be leading a life group, getting people together in such a disconnected time and helping them to connect to each other and to connect to God. But I just want you to pick one goal that its whole purpose is just to glorify God. Why? Because everything goes back to him. To him be the glory forever and ever. Now, as a church, as we've been praying and thinking as a leadership team, here's the things that, the four hills that we feel like God is calling us to tackle in this next year to glorify him. And they're around four words, so I want to share them with you. And here's what the words are: love, life, lead, and legacy. They all start with L. Love, life, lead, and legacy. So as a church, this is kind of, we're doing this right here to say, hey, what's our goal at the end of the day, at the end of this year, to strive for that we can glorify God? And that's what they are: love, life, lead, legacy. Here's what they mean. Love is this. I believe people desperately need to know that there's a God that loves them. And I believe that's part of our job. It's, we can't do all of it, but God says, hey, you're here to bring that good news. That's what the gospel means, good news. Bad news is God wants to lay the hammer on you. Good news is that God gave his son so that you don't get the hammer, you get the crown of blessing. That's good news. And I believe people need to know that more than ever. And here's what I also believe. People are open to it. People are open to it if there's a church that cares enough to share and that will meet them where they're at. You with me on this, church? And so as a church, we want to, this year, we want to work hard to share the love of Christ with our communities more and more. We want to do it digitally. We want to do it in person. We want to do it every way that we can because we believe this is some of the most important things that we can do. And you know what it means? It means becoming a church that's a good friend to people, that says, I'll meet you where you're at. I'll welcome you. I'll love you. I'm not going to ask you to do anything weird. You ever go to a church and you're afraid they're going to ask you to do something weird? And it's just uncomfortable. I'm a pastor and that happens to me sometimes. We can make so many artificial barriers as a church for people to come to Christ that we are really shooting ourselves in the foot and getting the message of the gospel out. And what I believe that we have to be committed to as a church is to just get out of the way so that in the as easy as it can be done, people can know that they are deeply loved by God. And that affects everything that we do as a church. And it takes all of us to do it right, right? That means being a welcoming church. Because people, they feel God's welcome first through you and I. It means being a church that meets people where they're at and isn't always morally refereeing people's lives. Right? Isn't always just judging and condemning and, you know, walking with our nose ups. And I know that's not our church. But what I am saying is it takes work and effort to be that. And I want to be committed to that. Here's our second word. It's life. I believe one of our greatest immediate problems right now is disconnection. It's disconnection. Has anyone felt disconnected? It's been tough. Those online, you know what I'm, if you felt disconnected at all through this time, it's tough. And one of the things that we need to do as a church is create more opportunities for us to connect. Whether it's over Zoom, whether it's in person, whether it's hybrid, but we just have to have multiple options and multiple ways and multiple strategies so that we can be with each other and serving and loving and praying for each other. And so our primary way of doing that as a church is life groups. That's where people get together in smaller communities and they share, they grow together, they serve each other. And we've got some great life groups in our church, but we need more. And we need some of you to lead a life group because God's given you that ability. You can get people together. You can create healthy community. You can help lead and pastor a flock of a smaller group of people as they grow in the Lord. And we need some of you to do that because it's so important right now. And so we need to do more to connect with each other. Here's the third one, lead. A great church is when God raises up people with different gifts and different abilities that bless the church in different ways. You know, the church is not meant to be a one or a two or a three-man show. It's a body. That's what the New Testament says. How many parts to the human body are there? I have no idea, but there's a lot, right? You got muscles and bones and tendons and other stuff. You know, there's a lot. My wife's a medical professional in the family. But there's all kinds. And that's what a healthy church is. It's not just the leadership of one person, but it's the many together under Christ. The real leader of our church is Jesus Christ, right? I'm accountable to him, and all of us are. And here's what makes a really, really healthy church. Some of you have incredible gifts that could bless our church in the next year. God's given you gifts. You see areas that you could make better, that you could create something that is going to be a blessing to our community, to our world. And what it takes is it takes your effort, it takes your time, it takes your leadership. But here's what happens. The church becomes better and healthier through you. And I'm asking some of you that maybe this is the year where you step up and you own an area of our church and you lead and you bring what God has put in you to bless all of us. With me on this, church? And when we do that, when we take what we have in our hands and we say, all right, Lord, this is what I have. Because we all have different things. But they're all equally important. And we give them to the Lord to do his good work through us. That's how we become a great church. And we need God's people to bring what God has given them to bless us all. And become what God has asked us to be. And here's the last word is legacy. Now, we as a church, we had a great breakthrough as we ended 2020. We were able to purchase that land. It's a couple miles from where I'm at right now, and we're so grateful to God for that. But here's what we've known for a couple years. As a church, we need a permanent place to call home. We've been like the children of Israel in 2020. We moved out of here. We got kicked out of the school, we moved back, and it's been crazy. But we've known that part of what we are called to do is to create a rock-solid future for our church, not just for now, but for generations to come. And that one thing we need, one tool, and that's all a building is, it's a tool, is we need a great home to do that, a home that works for us and not against us. A home that we can grow into for the next 50 years. A home that can be an outpost for the gospel. And it's a big task. Have you ever heard the saying, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. I don't know why people are interested in eating elephants, but I get the principle of it. Right? It's a big goal. You got to take a bite at, one bite at a time. And that's what we're going to do this year. We're going to eat this elephant. We may only eat its right leg this year, but guess what? That's one right leg. I'm running too hard with this. You get the idea. We're going to take the steps forward. We've got to work on this now. And we've got to take steps. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to work to finalize designs. We're going to work to continue to raise money for it. We're going to work and be on that land and be praying and just saying, all right, Lord, we need your help. We need your grace. And we are going to focus on that so that we can create a legacy. We can bless ourselves, but guess what? We will be also blessing generations. Emery, my daughter, she's coming up on 2 years old. She'll have a beautiful place to grow up and to bring her kids one day. That's motivating to me. And if that takes just sacrifice and forethought from us, then I'm totally in for it. And I think it's worth it. So that's kind of where we're going. And I want to just end this way. This year, here's what I'm asking out of you and asking out of me. Would you be more passionate about God's glory than you are his blessings? See, Paul ends this. He says, to him be the glory forever and ever. I know all of us want God's blessings in our life. You want him to bless probably everything, right? Finances, your health, your work, your family, all that. And that's great. And I believe God wants to bless you. But here's the thing. We can leave blessing to God. He'll take care of it. He's better at blessing you than you are. But here's what our focus needs to be. His glory. Am I glorifying him? Am I living my life in a way that brings him honor? Am I talking to people? Are my aspirations and my goals, are they things that glorify God? That's what I want to concern myself with this year. That's a question that I want to lose sleep over. Am I glorifying God? Because here's the end of the day. God, he's already figuring out all the ways that he's going to bless you, and he's got you covered. But I want to figure out all the ways I can glorify him in this next year. Because here's the thing. At the end of the day, we live and have the blessings of God already. When you think about this year, are you living from a place where you have a chip on your shoulder, or are you living with a crown on your head? There's two different approaches to life. Sometimes having a chip on your shoulder isn't always a bad thing. You know, people talk down to you and you're like, I'm going to prove them wrong. And you get some motivation from that, right? I love when people tell me I can't do something. So I'm like, you have just fueled me forever. That's all I need. I'm so messed up, church. But it's true. That's a chip on our shoulder. But that's not really where God wants us to live. Some of us, as you enter this year, no matter what happened last year, you don't have to live with a chip on your shoulder. You don't have to live feeling like neglected, feeling inferior, feeling less. Because here's why. Here's why. And listen to me on this. Jesus Christ is your blessing. In him, you and I have all the approval we could ever ask for. In him, we have all the success that you could ever want. In him, all the promises of God find their yes. In Jesus Christ. In him, whether you feel like it or not, you have everything. You have the crown of life, the crown of blessing. And so this year, I want you to live from that crown. I want you to approach life not out of insufficiency and insecurity and instability, but I want you to live life out of blessing, out of love, saying, hey, at the end of the day, if I don't lose those 10 pounds, Christ still loves me. If I gain 10 more, he still loves me. If I lose my job, right? Come on, somebody. If I don't ever reach the career heights that I hope for, I've still got everything I could ever ask for because I have Jesus Christ. And when you live from a crown and not a chip, you're more willing to live for the glory of God and not just his blessing. Today, church, you have the crown on you. He took the crown of thorns so you can have the crown of blessing. So let's take that great gift and let's give it back to him. And say, Lord, I want my life to glorify you because you're the one that took the crown of thorns to give me the crown of blessing. You're the one that all glory goes back to. You're the one that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. In 100 years, no one's going to remember our names, but the name of Jesus Christ will still go on. There'll still be people gathering like we are, and they'll be singing praises to him. And they'll be preaching about his goodness. And they'll be lifting their hands up in worship because the glory goes back to him. So let's just join that great flow. And let's live in that flow. And let's live from the crown and seek his glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge, Lord, that every good thing in our life is from you. We acknowledge, Lord, that apart from you, we can't do anything. But Lord, with you, all things are possible. And Father, we also know, Lord, that at the end of the day, it all goes back to you, back to your glory, back to your great name. So Father, today we want to live in that flow. We want to constantly just be aware every good thing is from you. So our hearts will open up in full trust. God, we want to live in dependence. We don't want to be so self-trusting that we lose our dependence on you. We want to do life with you. Father, we pray that this year we could glorify you in the greatest way that we've ever done in our life. Help us to glorify you and help us to do that as a church. God, bless these great people. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.